People in here over 50 will appreciate this. You know you're getting old when you got to have a committee that helps you get your earpiece on because your joints won't bend that far. Man, I tell you, getting old is not for the faint at heart. We'll get there. For all you people who are sitting there going, I don't know what you mean, just give it a minute. You'll know what I mean. All right, look in Joshua chapter 4. We're back in Joshua this week. I've been studying in the book of Joshua. And I just want to encourage you to take, don't just listen to the message and go on about your business. Dig into God's word and mine out those pieces of truth that change your life. You know, between here and the prisons and all that stuff, actually, out of chapter, I think I've preached 5 different messages out of chapter 3. You could probably preach 25. There's so much in here that really just magnifies Jesus. I love showing Jesus in the Old Testament. A lot of people think that God was one way in the Old Testament and a different way in the New Testament. Like, no, the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you start seeing Jesus all the way to Revelation 21, where he finishes out the book. And so in this chapter here, I want to really focus on, show you Jesus in this. This morning, talk to you about my favorite subject, the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Looking in chapter 4, in verse 1, remember last week, this is where the people are fixing to follow Joshua and cross over into the promised land, or the life of following Jesus in faith is what it is to us. I do want to point out real quick that, you know, Moses led the people out of Egypt and through all the wilderness and through their rejection, and then out for 40 years in the wilderness. And then, you know, the Lord told Moses, you're not going to lead the people in. Joshua is. You know, you remember Moses represents the law. The law can never bring you into the promised land. You understand that the law has no life-giving power in it. The law brings us to the brink of the promised land. And Joshua, the name Yeshua in Hebrew, same name as Jesus, carries us into the promised land. And so in that, starting in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed. Real quick, this is off my message. Look in verse 10. So the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. You see that? The people completely crossed. Everything was finished. Jesus completely finished everything that had to be finished in order that we could have life. You don't add to it. You don't maintain it. He did everything. That's called grace. So when they were completely crossed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men of the people, one man from every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed. Man, I hope y'all take notes of this. So much here is good. From the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. I'm going to stop right there. Now let's look through the text real quick. Cover it. So what you see is you got the crossing of the Jordan. For time's sake, you know, if you wasn't here last week, go back on Facebook and listen to last week's message. But this is a picture of God's people passing from death to life. You remember the Jordan River? Jordan means to descend down into the river of death. And so the Ark of the Covenant the priests bear it, carry it into the river. It backs up all the way to the city of Adam, representing the cross is for the people all the way back to Adam and everybody that's after that. So they go in, the water stands up in a heap on this side, cut off in this side down to the Dead Sea. And these 12 men that Joshua chose, that the Lord told him to, they would have been the first 12 men in after the water stood up. They go in, they pick up a big stone, shoulder it, bury it, carry the weight of it, and then they come up on the other side. The people come out and follow. They go to the place where they're staying or camping that night. They set the stones down, and Joshua takes and builds a foundational memorial stone so that they would remember. He also built one, if you keep reading, right where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. He built another foundational stones to where when the river came back down, that you could still see it, and that when the future generations of kids came by here, they would say, "What does that mean?" It was something that was very significant and set apart. And what does that mean? And they would be able to say, "This is where God made a way for us to cross from death to life." Are y'all with me on this message, man? Those of you who study your word will probably be excited about this. Those of you who don't, I hope you get excited, all right? Hope it causes you to see that God's word is not a book written by men. No way. Listen to me. If you don't get nothing else, this happens 2,000 years prior to Jesus. And everything here, not interpretation, but just black and white, magnifies in detail all that Jesus done. Only God can do that in detail 2,000 years prior to this. And so if God's word is exact and true then, read the rest of the story and you'll figure out where you need to end up. All right? And so in that, there are some things in history, in our lives, that are so profound and have life impacting ramifications that they not only need to be remembered, but they need to be made known, shared with future generations in order that their lives will be impacted by it. Sometimes maybe it was how you and your spouse met. You know, those are important things, you know. We need to keep up with that. And or maybe it's something in life that changed the course of your family in a good way. You know, that's obviously, I hope everybody here, if you are a born-again believer, that you like these people, your life, the cross of Jesus Christ should absolutely change the course of your life, of your family, of generations. If it hasn't, you haven't been changed by it. You understand that? Let's get beyond the whole little, hey, I prayed a prayer and I'm good to go to heaven. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is raising you from death to life and giving you what only Jesus could provide for you. And it impacts your life and it should impact generations. So that's why God set it up this way. The greatest story ever told is the story that Jesus changed your personal life. But let's be honest. I'm going to give you something today. This is just a simple redneck, something that's going to help you, all right? It's easy to forget. Amen? I was supposed to bring something to church this morning, and somebody sent me a text about 15 minutes before church, said, hey, remember to bring that. You know what I did? I just forgot. You know why? Because it's not because it wasn't an important thing. It's because I get so, man, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'm not playing on my phone. I get so not sidetracked, focused. That's dialed in. You know, if you come to me before church, you go, hey, brother, blah, 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 you, I promise you I will not remember that, because when I get up here, I'm dialed in. I ain't looking at the crowd. I ain't thinking about nothing. I'm focused on Jesus, and that's what I want to communicate. So it's, there's a lot of things in life to cause us to forget. Some people, we just get old and we forget. Some people got a lot of stuff going on. And even in the good things, if we're honest, man, it's easy just to forget what God's done. How many of you, if you look back in your life last year, let's just go back 3 months, how many of you go, what did God do in your life that was just impacting and amazing? A lot of us had to go, if we're just honest. So I'm going to give you something, a memorial stone is going to help you this year. We're going to use this later in the year if you folk don't forget to do this. I want to ask Chad to stand up. So y'all take your phones out. If you have your phone, take your phones out. Is it your opportunity? Yeah, stand up here with me. Come up here with me, brother. Take your phone out. Come on up here. There you go. Everybody get your phone? Put it on photos. Raise it up. Everybody take a picture of Chad. So what are we doing for? This is a memorial stone that happened in 2025. We prayed for this brother last week that his cancer would not, that it would be contained. And he sent us a text that said the cancer is contained. That's a move of God. Amen. Now here's, you can sit down now, bud. Here's the thing I want you to do. Like, what are we going to do that for? Because 2 months from now, you'd forget that. And I would too. And I show, here's what I want to challenge you. This year, as you go through your weeks, in everything that you go, man, I saw God move. Whether it's answer prayer, I saw God do something in my family, I saw God open a door for me, I saw God give me an opportunity, I got to witness. I got a picture last week that I asked Sister King to send me a picture of Bear when I baptized him. I'm like, that's a move of God. That's a memorial song. I'll remember it. And I would love, honestly, if we do it in 3 months or whatever, just to have a service to where, all right, let's talk about what we saw God do for people to stand. You'd be able to take your phone and go, yeah, I remember that. God did this. You need to be able to tell your kids. Wouldn't it be awesome for you to sit down at your table one night, pull out your phone, your kid go, what's a picture of this goofy dude for? Let me tell you what we saw God do. Our kids need to see. I just want to encourage you. I told you I was going to preach on families here as parents and grandparents. We want the next generation as a church. That's our whole calling, is to share the power of the cross with the next generation. Not just talk about it, but go, I can show you what he's done in my life. Even in the last week, I've got pictures on my phone where I'm reminded, this is why I praise. This is what I worship. This is why you're worthy. This is why you're so good to my family. And I just encourage you that you begin to put to action your faith in what you say that you believe. And so when we look at this, I want to start off by looking at this place of the ark. He said, I want you to take 12 stones from the place where the priest stood with the ark. Now, I know most of you know this, so I'll go a little bit quick through this, but the Ark of the Covenant is more than a show that was on, Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Ark of the Covenant, if you look at it, what it represents is the life, the ministry, and the presence of Jesus among his people. He has always been the mediator of the new covenant. And so real quick, remember when God gave Moses, he went up on the mountain, he gives him the law, the Ten Commandments, writes it on stone. In the old covenant, the Old Testament was, God will do this, the people will do this. That's the way the law works. If you keep the law, then you can be righteous. And here's what happened. Before Moses got good and off the mountain, what happened? All the people down there, they done made idols, was worshiping, dancing around there, acting like morons. And Moses threw the tablets down and represented the people had already broken their part of the covenant. All the law does is magnify how many times I fail and fall and sin and break it. And so if you're hoping that keeping some kind of rule system or the Ten Commandments is going to get you to heaven, I can tell you this already, you ain't going. Because they broke it before it even got good and going. God, who's a God of mercy, calls Moses back up. He gives him another set of tablets that he himself wrote with his fingers in stone. But here's the thing. He gave him a blueprint of building the tabernacle and building what was called the Ark of the Covenant. And it's a picture of, he said, this is where this is so awesome. The more I think about it, the more I understand. Guys, I'm going to show you where I'm going to keep this law. And so they build this chest. That's a whole different message. I won't go into this more. I want to, but they build this chest. They do it a certain way that God makes it. And on top of it, it was overlaid, or no, the sides and everything on the chest was overlaid. It was acacia wood overlaid in gold. Represents the humanity and the deity of Christ. Okay, let's just throw that in there. But the top lid was solid gold. It had no wood in it. It represents the salvation provided wholly by God with nothing to do with man involved. And what would happen is they would set that tabernacle up. The tabernacle, they carried it with them as they went in the camp. They would set it up in the center of the camp. And then how you went into the tabernacle was a picture of how a sinful man approaches a holy God. You come in, you got the first thing is the brazen altar represents the cross. You go to the next piece of furniture there, which was the laver where you wash, sanctification of the Holy Spirit. You enter into that actual tent of meeting is what it was called. And it was a place of fellowship, had the table of showbread. Jesus is the bread of life. It had the only source of light, which was the light stand. Jesus is the light of the world. And then it had help me out. Y'all know your Bible? What was it? No, the altar of incense. And the altar of incense stood before this curtain. It represented the prayers of the saints going up, Christ being our representative. Anyhow, there was a big a curtain. It's called a veil, really thick. Okay? It was made of several layers of animal skins, and it divided this fellowship place with what was called the Holy of Holies, which represents the throne room of God. Right. Now, what did you see when you walked through that veil into that throne room? You saw death. No man walked through that veil. If any man passed through that veil and came into the presence of God, he was struck dead. Because man on his own can't approach God. One day a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would carry in the blood of a lamb representing Christ. And he would go, and the Ark of the Covenant was in there. And the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, would descend. And that Ark of the Covenant would be between man and God. I got to hurry. So anyhow, he would offer up the blood on that mercy seat, and God would show mercy to the people. Their sins would roll over for another year, all the way to the time where it came to the cross and Jesus fully paid for the penalty of those sins and our sins too. What was in that Ark of the Covenant? Here's what I want you to get. In the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. Because man broke the old covenant before it got good and started, God said, I'm going to show you how I'm going to save your soul. There was a bowl of manna in there. Manna was the bread from heaven. We couldn't go up. Christ came down. God came down and became the manna from heaven. He said, you have to partake of my righteousness. There was the law that was placed. The two tablets of law was placed in that Ark of the Covenant. It represents the righteousness of God. And Jesus did what? He said, let all the righteousness be fulfilled. That when he said he was finished, it means all the requirements of God's standard of righteousness, Jesus fully fulfilled. And then I think my favorite part was Aaron's rod that budded was in there. So what was Aaron's rod? But if you read the Old Testament, you'll see there was a drama. Okay, and it was about authority and power. There was this group of men because God chose Aaron as the priesthood, and this other group of people, like, we want to be the priest. And who said you could be the priest? And it was a church thing. And so God's like, I'm going to show you who I chose. And so he says, I want all of you guys who are arguing about this to take your staff and to put it inside of the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. And in the morning, I'm going to reveal to you who I've chosen. So they go in there, and Aaron's rod, remember, this is a stick. Is dead. And when they go in there, Aaron's rod had budded and it was producing almonds, fruit. It was dead and now it's alive. You understand what I'm saying? God came down, the man of heaven. He met all the requirements of God's standard of righteousness, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. This box represents Jesus, the power of the cross and everything he's done so that we could have life. Ain't that awesome? Man, that's good. And so when you get that, you had to get this. I'm going to move quickly. All right, stay with me. So when the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant down into death, it represents the cross of Jesus Christ. They got right down to the midst of it and they stopped. And you'll keep reading there. It says, wasn't a muddy bottom, that it was dry ground, solid rock. It's the foundation that which we build our lives and our faith upon. So they stood there, the waters parted. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so they crossed through there. And these 12 men pick up stones, the first 12, and they carry them out and they go to build a memorial. Let me make sure I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. So when you think about it, I got to give you this. When you think about the power of the cross, this is what we're talking about. His sacrificial death. These are just a few things that the cross of Jesus Christ, what he did through his sacrificial death. We are the benefactors. You are an inheritor. The Bible calls that land the land of inheritance. We inherited things that God provided for us through death. You don't inherit something until somebody dies. Jesus dies, and now these people are the benefactors. You are the benefactors of his death. There are things that have been given us, and let me say this real quick. There are things that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has provided for you that the enemy is still holding on to that you've got to get. They walked into that land, and the enemy was camped on what belonged to them, and the Lord said, I'm with you. I've already given you this. Fight the battle. And so the promises of God's word that are given to every believer, understand, write this down, the battle comes before the blessing. It doesn't just happen. They didn't go over and go, "All right, Lord, I pray that you would give us Jericho." Now, we're going to cover this next year. I pray that you would give us that. The Lord's like, you got a battle to fight. Some of you got a battle to fight for your marriage. Some of you got a battle to fight for your kids. Some of you got a battle to fight for joy and peace in your life. And you're not willing to fight the battle, you'll never receive the blessing. Does that make sense? That's another message. We'll go there later. But the power of the cross means this. Your sins, if you are here, you have believed the gospel of Jesus, you turn to the Lord, repentance, and you ask God to forgive your sins, save your soul, be the Lord of your life, your sins are 100% forgiven. You change just like they went from death to life. They went from the land of the dead to the land of the living. The river went back down. There's no going back over, and sometimes the opportunity isn't there. Your sins are forgiven. Second thing is you're in a right relationship with God because of Jesus, not because of your performance or your ceremonies. Here's what I love. God is with us. God is for us. God is here to direct us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. He will bless us. And ultimately, he will deliver you from the wrath to come. There's wrath of God coming upon this world, upon sinful, rebellious people who reject the gospel of Jesus. There's a day of judgment coming. I think that day is coming pretty soon. And in that, our only hope to avoid that wrath and end up in hell for all eternity created for the devil and his angels is that Jesus went to the cross because he loves sinners. And he's like, I'm going to deal with your sins. You put your trust in me and I'm going to bring you into life. Are y'all with me this morning? Come on, y'all. Like, amen. Yeah. Yeah. Let me move on from that, all right? So these 12 men, watch how closely this relates. How many men did Jesus choose? He chose 12 men. When he came and he started his ministry, he called out 12 men. What were those 12 men for? The same thing that these 12 men were for. They were the first 12 to be the witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. They witnessed his life. They witnessed his preaching. They witnessed the miracles. They witnessed the power. They witnessed the death on the cross. They witnessed his burial, and they witnessed the resurrection. And they took the burden or the weight of that stone. That stone represents the gospel message of Jesus. And you notice where they carried it? Up out of there and to the place where they lodged into everyday life. And it says that Joshua built a memorial there. Look real quick, Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your, I'm going to slow down just a bit. If anybody gets in a bind and needs to go, you know, hurt my feelings or nobody else's if you have to go. But I just want to get you this. This is good. Take it down. Ephesians chapter 2. Say, man, this is just a Bible study. That's the only reason I'm here, people. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't here to preach my message. Ephesians chapter 2. When you start putting this stuff together, you know what happens? All of a sudden, God's Spirit takes the Word of God and puts the faith of God within you. A man can't give you faith. Only God's Word through the Spirit can. That's what I'm trying to get here. And so when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 20. Let me find my place. Let's look in 19. Now, therefore, and it's talking about because of the cross, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built, what? Upon the foundation of the apostles, the stones, and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So you see the foundation, those stones, the gospel. This represents the gospel that the apostles laid. And it talks about Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, not a building, but a group of people whose lives have been impacted and the course of their lives have been changed because of what Christ has done on the cross. And he's building that foundation based upon that. Now look real quick because it also goes into your personal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. These are only a couple of places I'll have you turn this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is getting into the camp. Is this making sense to y'all? Okay. All right. Hopefully it'll help you in your studies and your growth. Watch this. Say, why is it I need to know these things? Because you're going to face this. Every person in here is going to face this day, one day. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. That means God's doing a work in all of us as the church. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. Watch what Paul says. I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds upon it. That means the stones which was laid represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, what Christ has done for you. You build upon that. You understand that? What you do with the gospel of Jesus is how you build your life, how you build your family, how you build, you understand what I'm saying? It's what he's talking about here. How you build upon it. Be a wise master builder. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, those are things that are eternal. You built upon something that this world can't take away from you, the word of God. Or you can use wood, hay, or straw. Each one's work will come clear for the day. Some of the day of judgment will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire. And so you see the foundation that was laid there, the stones of memorial also representing, I think, mostly representing the work of Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles who laid the foundation of the church. And we are building as a church, building upon this foundation that Christ and those 12 men laid for us. All the New Testament written by those men except for a couple of books. You understand what I'm saying? And so in that, no, I'm not getting it. Stay with me. You'll get it. Watch this. Jesus, it said Joshua built the memorial. Jesus has taken, and what is the church? It is a memorial. Everything to do centrally focused around the cross of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus took what the apostles did and built a memorial. A church is a memorial. When we come here with a remembrance of what Christ done. You worship because what Christ has done, everything you do in your service goes back to and is rooted in the love of Jesus and what he's accomplished for you on the cross. Why it's very important, listen to me, that you not only attend, I don't even like to use that word, but that you involve and invest in your church people as a body. We're the building as a people for the Spirit of the Lord, because what are we doing? We're calling into remembrance, teaching our kids what the cross has done in our life. We're declaring to the world what the cross of Jesus Christ has done. And so you say, why is it important I'm there? Because if you ain't here, you're going to forget, and people are going to be misled. There you go. You ain't got to go to church. You ain't got to go to a place, but you need to be connected to a people. I think if the Lord went through this much trouble, we ought to be involved. Like, has the cross impacted your life enough to be involved? Let me finish right here. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to move quickly. Three lessons from the cross and the power of it. Number one, when the power of the cross penetrates our heart, it will permeate our lives. They came, they brought the stones out. It changed, honestly, it made a way for them. They were amazed at what that caused, but they took something away from it. Listen to me. I don't care what preacher's preaching on Sunday morning. There's a lot of preachers who can just like, blow your mind. But if that's all you do and you leave here without carrying a stone, it's wasted. It should permeate and carry into your Monday. It should permeate and carry into your family, into your marriage, into your finances, into every aspect of your life. When the power of the cross penetrates your heart, permeates your life. Church just isn't a place. It's a people whose everyday lives and purpose are interwoven by their relationship to Jesus. So in that, what Christ has done, when we receive it, will always carry over into every area of our day-to-day living. My motives, my attitude, my conversations, my involvements, my direction, my investment, all of that should be connected to, tied to, and coming out of what I'm rooted and grounded in what Christ has done for me. That's not religion. That's the Word of God, okay? Second thing is, everything in our lives should come out of the cross and lead back to it. Remember, he said, you're going to come up out of here. They didn't just stay there. They took from it. They walked out of there. They walked into life. They carried it to the place where they would camp or where they would be staying or abiding, and they placed that down there. What was it for? To point their children back to the cross. Y'all with me? I'm going to keep you awake. And so in that, whenever a church, listen to this, whenever a church, an individual, a family, a business, a nation drifts away from this truth or this foundation, this memorial, you will always walk in paths of waste and chaos, loss, destruction, and darkness. Think about this. God has a way. This everything revolves around the cross. It's God's plan for man. What is it? So that we can know him, so we can fellowship with him, we worship him, we magnify him, we can receive from him. That's God's plan for man. What about a design for marriage? One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's God's design for that. Good, thriving, lifelong. And I realize there's people, I've been divorced, I'm not condemning nobody in here. Hush all that thought. What I am saying is, if you're here and you're divorced, I guarantee this, stake my life and eternity on it. You will not go back to the fact that both of you was following Jesus, living by God's word, and your marriage fell apart. You will never find a divorce that has that. You will go back to a place where one or both drifted away from the source of the cross and the power of the gospel in your life, and you walked into a place of division and chaos and darkness. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you come back. I'm not here to make you feel bad, but I am going to give you some hope. You come back to the place of the cross. Go, I'm going to build my life out of this foundation. Think about roles in the family. That's why, like I said this real quick, that's why you got people going, oh, marriage is, between two men, two women. No, it's not. That's called an abomination to God. You understand that? One man, one woman, when you get away from the message of the gospel, ain't no telling where you're going to end up. Foolishness. Roles in the family. Husband's here to do what? Lead, love, and serve his wife. The wife is here to do what? Honor and respect her husband and come alongside of him to do what? If God so bless you with children, to raise them, train them up in the ways of the Lord, nurture them, and give them the same foundation that held your family together. Man, we've turned that into a nightmare. Our purpose of provision is to be givers, to be stewards of what God's given us, our power and lives. Victory over the enemy is sown into the power of the gospel. Our heart and relationship to others, to love and to bless. Why? Because you've been loved and blessed. And the mission for the world, God's mission for the world, to reach the lost and make disciples. Now, when you look at your life in just those categories, you go, how close are you walking to the message of the cross in your life? When you look at your life, you should be able to go, this message has impacted every area, molded every area, influenced every area and thought in my life. And when you have red flags, I'm almost done. When you have red flags, and say, what are you talking about, red flags? Division, whether it's in family, whether it's in church, whether it's in your business. And when you start having division and drama and chaos and loss, you need to put the brakes on and go, hold on a second, because somewhere we've drifted. Somewhere we've drifted. When the church has a bunch of drama and chaos, like, hold on, people, we've lost sight of what we are here for. You understand? This ain't about you, because you and me wasn't on the cross. I didn't raise from the dead. And so I need to bring my intentions and my purpose and everything to do back to this place of Calvary and build the church upon that foundation. Right. Because if we build it on the sand, it's going to sink. That's what I mean by that. Y'all with me? And then the last thing is I want you to see is impact and explanation for the next generation. This is where it gets kind of tough, especially for men. You'll notice here in the scripture he says, when the children ask who, it didn't say the mamas. When the children ask their fathers. You know, in the Bible, in this culture, you know who the main leader and teacher was? It was the father. Our culture is when men go out and work, you make all the money, that way we can go on vacations, and the moms, they can teach it. Now it's like, oh, the moms, y'all don't need to do that either. Bring it to the church, let them do it. But the Bible says it's our responsibility as men. When, now think about this, when... So like I said, it's going to kind of gut some of us. When the children ask their daddies, what is this monument? What is this memorial? That tells me that the dads took their kids walking back by it. How many of you take your kids walking by the cross of Jesus on a weekly basis? That they see it, that they hear it, that they're taught of it, and they're taught of it by the men in this church. You know, the gospel should be so interwoven into our lives and the power and the goodness of God that has come from what Jesus has done for us on the cross, so visible that our kids and grandkids ask, why do we do this? Our kids should be like, think about it, has your kids ever asked you, why do we go to church every opportunity? My answer would be, because he went to the cross. He took the opportunity to save my soul, and he wants to save your soul, buddy. And that's why we go. We don't go so that we're trying to impress anybody or keep up with our check marks. We go there because it's an incredible opportunity to get together with people who love Jesus, whose life's been changed. And I want to put you around those people. You're around a bunch of morons all week and in an environment of darkness. So Dad's going to take you into an environment of light outside of our home so that you see everybody else who loves the Lord. And hopefully it'll lead you to the place where you trust in Jesus. Have your kids ever asked you, why do you serve? Have your kid ever asked you, why does our family look so different? And what do you mean by that? Shouldn't a Christian family look different? Yes. Man, our kids, and I know how kids are, they'll come on school and go, you know, Mom, Dad, I look like an idiot because we don't do all the things we do. I'm like, right. I want you to learn how to be comfortable looking like an idiot, because if you serve Jesus, the world's going to look at you like an idiot for the rest of your life. So get over yourself and start being a man, you five-year-old. Stand up for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Learn it young. Don't get the approval of the world. Why don't we watch filthy movies? Why don't we cheat, lie, and steal to get rich? Why are you kind to people who are not kind to you? Why are you not afraid of what's happening in the world? You know, your kids see all that stuff on social media and the world's in a panic. You know, when your kids see that, say, hey, I'm going to worry about it. And you read your Bible, John chapter 14, say, you believe in God, believe also me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You know why Dad ain't worried about it? If the world, you know, here's an old saying. If syrup comes to a dollar a sop, I ain't worried about it. And most of y'all ain't going to get that. That's for real. My granny used to say it. If we lose everything we've got and China attacks and Russia invades, you know what? I'm going to be looking for a white horse coming. Because he's the one who promised he would keep us, and he's going to keep us. We believe in the power of the cross. If he rose from the grave, what can he not do? He's already defeated our greatest enemy. He's going to do it for us again.
Right.
And you got to have an answer when they ask. Let me finish up. Your kids ever ask you, why did I see you reading, talking about the Bible? You know, one of the things that impacted my life, I've heard David say it multiple times. He said, I used to get up and get ready to go to school early in the morning. He said, most of the mornings I walk in there and my daddy would be sitting there reading his Bible. I'm like, man, I want my kids to see that. I want my grandkids to know I don't just stand up here and give a message. That God's words is life every day. Why do you talk to people about Jesus? Your kids ever ask you that? Moms and dads, let's bring the ladies in this. You have kids there, hey, why do you talk to people about Jesus? Why don't we listen to Christian music? Why do you love me so much? Why do you give to people? Why did I walk in your room and see you praying? Here's what I want to encourage you. Give them the because. Give them the because. Because what Jesus did for me on the cross forever changed who I am. Because what Jesus did for me changed the way I live and what I live for. Because what Jesus did for me in the power of the cross changed the direction of our family. And he is so good to us because he saved my life. Well, that's what I wanted to transfer. It's what my wife wanted to transfer to our kids. Yeah, get them an education, great, whatever. Make a living, whatever. The most important thing is, number one, that they see it, him enough in our lives and the power of the cross in our lives that they are asking. They want to know, what is this that I see? And I want to give them a reason. I want to give them the answer because I want so much for you to see him so that you come to the place of the cross, so that you have a stone in your life that you pick up and carry and go, there was a place, and I finished again with this right here. For every person here, I just want to challenge you this morning. Do you have a point and place in your life where you came to the cross and you bowed down and you walked away with a stone of memorial to go, because right here, the whole entire course of my life and eternity changed in a moment because what he did, I believe this right here. And I'm so grateful for what he's done. It's going to move me and motivate me and empower me for the rest of my days. And I want to pass that on to generations to come. Do you have that in your life? If you don't, why don't you do that today? Why don't you give your life to Jesus today? Why don't you believe the gospel today and go, God, I need that change in my life. I need what you've done for me. I need to come to this place because I want to pass from death into life. I want to move away from what sin has given me, and I want to go into the land of promise. And I want to look forward to the day I lay my eyes on you, not because I deserve it, because you did everything that needed to be to do because you love me that much. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? You know, you can stand where you are if you want to, sit where you want to, and pray where you want to. If you want to come up here, pray. My whole thing is I just want you to talk to the Lord this morning. Maybe just listen to the Lord this morning. Maybe your life's out in the land of chaos and you need to come back to the place where you find your knees at the foot of the cross. Go, God, today I want to change. I want you to change. He can change you. I just want you to leave with a great hope today that he loves you. He's in control. You just got to give him control. Walk away. Change your life to where your kids see that. Father, I love you and I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for this people in this church, my brothers and sisters. Lord, so many men and women in here, good mamas and daddies. Lord, I've baptized so many kids that I had nothing to do with their salvation. Their mama, their daddy carried them to the foot of the cross. Praise you for that, God. I thank you so much that we have so many strong families in here. We could all be stronger. And God, I pray that you would help us just to be an humble people, to recognize you're our life and our hope and our strength, our righteousness. Every time the enemy comes against them, remind them of the cross. Lord, I pray as we start this new year, God, let us break some old patterns and let us start some new things with our marriages and with our families, God, with a purpose and an intention that we won't be the same 6 months from now or next year. But God, we'll have walked in your presence this year and we'll see the power and the blessing of that. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that has never repented and trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, God, your Spirit would just open their eyes and their heart to see today how much you love them. And God, your will and desire for them, I pray they would just humble themselves to receive mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.